Let's take a critical look at the police tactics used to hunt down the Tsarnaev brothers. And to help me do that, I was joined earlier by Matthew Feeney. He's an associate editor at Reason 24/7, and he explains some of the extreme measures used by the Boston police during the manhunt.
Well, the lockdown, which was advisory and actually wasn't, you know, enforced by law, seems to have had an interesting effect on people. A Reason contributor, Garrett Quinn, wrote an article today that said actually most people in Boston seem to have been okay with a lot of them, but it is disturbing, as the video shows, that even if the police didn't have a warrant, which they probably should have, people seem to have been willingly leaving their properties.
Sure. And let me ask you this, because we obviously watched as this manhunt was going down. Did the end justify the means in this case? Obviously, we caught him, but did it justify the means?
I don't think it justified the means for a few reasons. Most importantly, I think it's important to remember that it was after the lockdown was lifted that someone left their home and saw blood on the boat where the brother was hiding and alerted police. And I think, as you briefly alluded to earlier, if you want to lock down an entire city because of what two young men have done, haven't they somewhat achieved the goal of terrorizing the American public? And I don't think that's something we want to give them.
Sure. And the question you had mentioned earlier, it was obviously a voluntary lockdown, but does it matter whether it was voluntary or otherwise?
Well, they said it was voluntary, but it's hard for anything to seem voluntary when you have police dressed up as soldiers roaming the streets. So I can imagine it being very easy to be intimidated if you wanted to do something, say, to, you know, grab some groceries or perhaps, you know, stretch your legs in your own, you know, front yard or walk down the street if there are, you know, police in what look like, you know, tanks to a lot of people roaming around.
And we did hear many cases where the police were actually yelling at people for being outside, not necessarily telling them they must go back indoors, but yelling at them saying that they are in danger. Now, obviously, this raises up a lot of questions. The number one question is, how far are we willing to take security measures and actually lose some of our public liberties in the process?
Well, I think it's absolutely vital that we not be willing to give up the civil liberties that we're entitled to as American citizens in order to keep ourselves safe. We, you know, as I said earlier, it's important to remember that, you know, this person was caught after the lockdown was lifted. And while, you know, the police might well be tempted to go door to door, the fact is we have a constitution that protects people's property.
Sure. And where is the line being drawn at this point? I mean, obviously, this was an extenuating circumstance, but where is the line for liberty being drawn? Obviously, it's a very gray area when it comes to this, when it comes to public safety.
Well, it is a gray line, and who knows, like, how far further will we push back in the future. And there's, you know, as you said, you know, 9/11, a city wasn't locked down, although I don't know if the comparison's entirely fair because all the attackers died in the 9/11 attack. But nonetheless, it's important to remember that, you know, if two young men can shut down an entire American city, it's a very worrying precedent to set.
Sure. Now, yesterday, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg said that the country is in need of changing the ways that it interprets the Constitution in light of these attacks in Boston. So my question to you is, first of all, how are we applying the Constitution right now, and what would it mean for us to change the interpretation of the Constitution?
Well, I think the interpretation should be pretty strict when it comes to especially the Fourth Amendment, which says people have the right to be secure in their persons and their property without a search warrant. And I don't think that, you know, had that interpretation necessarily been relaxed, that we wouldn't have caught this person sooner.
I do also want to bring up the fact that there was a lot of questions about the Miranda rights in this case, whether or not he was going to be read them. Obviously, he wasn't read them at first, and that was because of the public safety exception. Now, the Obama administration has been using this public safety exception for quite some time. They actually extended it back in 2011. But can you give us a little bit more detail about what falls under the public safety exception? And also, my other question to you would be, does it undermine the Constitution to have these exceptions?
Well, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, so I don't want to talk too, you know, with too heavy an opinion on the actual constitutional interpretation, but it seems to be in place for if the public safety exception seems to be in place if there's good reason to think there could be an imminent threat. And after the young man was apprehended, he was, you know, wasn't able to speak. He was, you know, severely injured, and I'm a little confused as to why he wasn't necessarily read his Miranda rights, seeing as there was no evidence at the time that an imminent threat was about to take place because he was in custody and his brother had been killed. And I'm very happy that he won't be tried as a enemy combatant, because, you know, it's important to remember that despite the fact he, you know, committed a terrible crime, he's an American citizen and entitled to certain protections.
I mean, whether you come into the country or you're born here, you are entitled those protections. Mm-hmm. Matthew Feeney, he's an editor at, associate editor at Reason 24/7. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.